for your right to party!
You're listening to the Arrowhead Live Podcast Network.
Thank you, Kansas City. We did it, baby!
Welcome, 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 football world, to another episode of your favorite show with your favorite co-host. I am your host tonight, CJ Jones, with my co-host, Chris Tenpenny. We are the Aftermath Podcast, and we are coming to you live from Kansas City, Missouri, a.k.a. the headquarters of the NFL football world for the next, you'll say what, Chris, about 4 days, 5 days?
Yeah, the whole week, man. Draft week in Kansas City. Who would have thought, man? That's awesome.
The whole world is going to be looking at us for the next 5 days, Chris. How does it feel, man?
And I just love knowing that everyone's just getting a little bit more sick of hearing about Kansas City. That's maybe the best part about it all.
Yeah, to come here in February and hear about us, now they're right back here in April, buddy. So it's a great feeling. I'm super excited for the city, man. I'm seeing everybody come in town. The airport is crazy. Everybody's loving it with the new updates. I'm getting a lot of texts from family and friends that they're excited about the draft and everybody pulling up and the festivities and everything. So like Chris said, you couldn't be more ecstatic, couldn't be more excited. And I can't wait till Thursday, man. It's going to be a great week.
Man, I think so, too. And, like, with the stage, too. What's the biggest stage ever for a draft? Like,
I'm going to be in Kansas City, Chris. Come on.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm excited for not only for the city of Kansas City, but just for, like, you know, the NFL fans that are going to travel that may not always travel to Kansas City, get to experience and kind of see what we're all about and taking the culture. And I just think it's going to be a really good thing this weekend.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't say it better myself. What do you think about the – I know you're probably all mocked out. We probably didn't done
– Oh, goodness.
But what's one more? I mean, never enough.
We don't need to mock. Maybe we can just, you know, do the casual, normal conversation on being like, these are players we kind of like, or we can see the Chiefs going. Like, we don't need to do the 1 through 7, you know, all 11 picks and break down, you know, what who's going to do. But, you know, couple guys you like, couple guys you wouldn't mind seeing. We'll start you off with you, CJ, since I know you've been kind of diving into this since the Super Bowl ended. What's a guy that if he's there at 31 that you hope the Chiefs snatch up?
Obviously, there's always the top guys. Like, we're from what I've been hearing and from what the scouts are telling me and from what the mocks I'm seeing from not only our own fans, but I get a lot of information from other fan bases. I'm hearing that there's a slim possibility that Jordan Addison, one of the guys we liked all along, could fall to 31. I did 3 mocks this week on 3 different platforms. I did one on PFF, I did one on Sports Tracker, and I did one for ESPN. So, and all Crazy. Of them had him available after 25. He was all after every time he was available. So, at first, if you would have told me that information before the combine, before the Super Bowl, I probably would have called you crazy because he's been a top 2 receiver all along.
Right.
So 25 was kind of too low for my liking, but based off the quarterbacks, you know, you got guys like Will Levis and Anthony Richardson moving up the board and tackles jumping up. He could fall. So that would be a guy I think that would be available. But the favorite would probably be the new media darling of the week, your boy Zay Flowers out of Boston College.
I know, right? All right. Zay working out with the Chiefs help too down there at TCU facility with Mahomes. And
little buzz.
You know, it was Albert Breer that dropped the news Monday today that, you know, the Chiefs were looking at Flowers as along with the Alabama running back, which if the Chiefs take another first-round running back, while they're trying to get rid of the last first round running back they took, that just would make zero sense, right?
That's ironic. That's ironic as hell. You can't admit that. You can't make that up. That's funny.
Right. Like it literally, like in all the news about it too, was I can't even remember I don't even know exactly how to say his name, even though I heard it a million times during college football. The Bama.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, Gibbs. It's all the same stuff too, you know. Oh, we like Mahomes likes him, you know. But the same thing with Clyde. Always it can be a pass catching back. So Clyde can do that. Like it's literally deja vu. Like it would make zero sense. Now there are very few things the Chiefs could do that would upset me because they're in such a position to where they can kind of, you know, trade up, trade back, take the best available. Taking a running back at 31 would upset me.
Oh, I'm right there with you. Obviously, we all know 2 words that are probably banned from Chiefs Kingdom ever. The first one is probably D, last name Ford. The next one is probably running back. Like, any phrase that has to deal with those two things probably get any Chiefs fan's skin just crawling or boiling 100 miles an hour. So I love Jahmyr Gibbs as a prospect. He's a great player, like my co-host Chris said. There's nothing bad I can say about the kid. He's great out of the backfield. He's explosive. He's electric. Coming out of college, I think he is a better prospect than Clyde, in my opinion, respectfully. But I'm with Chris on this one, guys. I don't think we need a running back, and I think most Chiefs Kingdom would agree with that. And you have, like, the 25% of people who like him as a player. And I'm not saying he wouldn't be a good fit at all. I believe any player we put in our offense with number 15 and Andy Reid calling plays would be explosive and a great player. But as we're standing right now, you have your starting running back in Isaiah Pacheco, who you found in the seventh round last year. Running back is not a need for this football team right now. So I love him as a prospect, but I don't think Gibbs will be the pick that we take at 31. I call it a lot of smoke, Chris. A lot of smoke.
It has to be. And even the other name paired there, you know, Zay Flowers out of Boston College, I think there's some smoke. I think there's a little more truth there than the Gibbs stuff, but I think it's smoke as well because the Chiefs would probably have to trade up, what, 10, 15 spots?
Oh, yeah.
Potentially to get him at least. Like, so – and again, I just don't think this team is in. There's enough options other places to where, like, the talking about the Chiefs trading up, I'm in the position to where I want the Chiefs to trade out of the first round. You know, maybe gain an extra pick or two. Let's see how the board falls. You know, I don't know if they're going to do that. And while this isn't how you run a good football team, and the Chiefs obviously know how to run a football team, but I think there is the added pressure of they are hosting the draft in Kansas City. Can they afford to not pick on Thursday?
Exactly. And I heard Brett Veach say it in his presser. He said he doesn't feel too much pressure to do that. But I'm with you, Chris. It's kind of hard to give those answers. I'm good with whatever scenario, like you said.
Right, right.
Whether it means we move up, stay, or move back. I'm good either way.
Right, right. I just think I could see it, like, you know, it's hard to pull the trigger when you've got your whole city, you know, probably the only time, at least in the near future, that Kansas City's going to be hosting the draft. And, you know, you get about 20 picks in and you get the news the Chiefs have traded, you know, with the Chiefs traded with the Seahawks, you know, back 7 picks. They're actually going to pick in, like, you know, the eighth pick of the second round will be their first.
It'll feel a little better wearing that Super Bowl gear. It won't sting as much.
Right.
It won't feel as bad.
Exactly. But, you know, and the reason I like the move is just kind of some of the players I like that I think this, like, a lot of the receivers going early. I don't want another 5'9", 5'10", speed, you know, shit to get. Like, because they got Kadarius Toney, they got Sky Moore, like, even Richie James to an extent. Like, they've got that covered.
Yeah.
I kind of want a 6'1", 6'3" receiver. And so, like, you know, taking a Rashee Rice, who I've kind of fallen in love with a little bit out of SMU in the second or early third, or even the Tillman kid, Tennessee. He's a big body guy that you can get in the third round. Like, those kind of receivers, which maybe they don't have the upside, but they fit what you need more in this offense.
Absolutely.
Is kind of what I'm feeling. There's other guys too. Like, I mean, even down the line, like, what it's who's the Michigan State kid, Jaden Reed. He's a really good route runner. He's basically Juju, just maybe an inch or two shorter, but like his pro comparison is Juju, and you can get him in the third or fourth. Like, absolutely. I think there's other guys to where if the board falls a certain way, you can still fill the wide receiver need, even if it's not the big name guy.
No, absolutely. I agree. And that's why I love about this draft, Chris. There's nothing we quote unquote have to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I can see plenty. That's why I'm kind of like burnt out on the mocks and I just can't wait till Thursday. Because I've seen a million mocks. I've seen some where we trade up. I've seen some where we stay at 31. I've seen some, like Chris said, where we move back and go back to the second round and get a couple more picks, which is a sweet spot on that second round. There's going to be a lot of good players between 31 and like 60, where there's going to be a lot of great talent found in that area. So there's a lot of good receivers you can get on day 2, like Chris said. He mentioned Jaden Reed. He mentioned Rashee Rice. You got Trey Palmer out of Nebraska. You got Xavier Hutchinson out of Iowa State.
Yeah.
Those are two guys that I really like a lot for us on day 2. So there's nothing really, quote unquote, we have to do. And that's what I like about this draft, because I really don't know what's going to happen outside of Bryce Young going number 1, which I think it should be a foregone conclusion.
At this point,
don't know what's going to be the number 2 pick. It could be Will Anderson. It could be Will Levis. It should be CJ Stroud, in my opinion, but we just don't know. And if we don't know what the number 2 pick is, we for sure as 31 teams, the defending champs, don't know what our pick is going to be because we don't know how the board is going to fall. Right. Does somebody trade up to get Anthony Richardson? Does he fall out? Does JSN go past 11? Does Jordan Addison fall past 20? Does Darnell Wright go in the top 20?
There's so many question marks,
So many questions, and we don't have the answers that we won't get until Thursday around 7 o'clock. Or what is it 8 Eastern, 7 Central?
That's what I believe so.
We'll have those answers on Thursday. So that's what I love about this. And then Brett Veach kind of touched on it during his presser last week that when you're coming into the draft, you have about 3 or 4 boards that you're looking at, and you kind of base it off scenarios like, hey, these are the 4 guys we think we could get on day one realistically. And if this guy's available, we'll have to move up to get him, or we may have to trade back to get this guy, or we could just stand pat and get him at 31. So that's what's dope about this draft year to me, because we don't know what's going to happen. On top of the fact, there's other things that could happen that could also cause chain reactions. Chris, you got Aaron Rodgers trade that went down today. He officially got moved for 4 picks, I believe, to go to the New York Jets. The Lamar Jackson deal still looming around. The DeAndre Hopkins news is still hasn't came out yet. I've been hearing rumors that we could hear a decision on him Thursday or Friday, whether Arizona decides to cut him or trade him.
Right.
I think the cut is more than likely because I don't think they want to pay that cap hit. And I don't think they're going to get the value that they want for him asking for quote-unquote second rounder. I don't know if that's true. Take that with a grain of salt. But I'm excited for Thursday, man, because there's so many. I'm cool with any scenario that happens, Chris. I'm not going to be one of those fans that are going to boo and be upset because we didn't take a draft pick on the first day of the draft. For one thing, I'm just glad I get to see all the fans' reactions. We get to see Roger Goodell and all the boos and stuff and hear all the other fans get excited. And on top of that, Chiefs Kingdom, we get to walk around on that beautiful, you know, World War II museum grass, seeing all these other fans. We get to wear our Super Bowl gear.
Exactly.
We get to tell them, like, hey, did you win last year? Oh, it sucks.
No, you didn't.
And if you see a Bengals fan, I'm not disclaiming that you should be mean, be disrespectful in any kind of way. But if you see an Eagles or a Bengals fan, I'm like, Burrowhead, that was pretty funny. Just saying.
Yeah.
Super Bowl wins, okay. That must be not. Now, you gotta be disrespectful. Just a little jab. Just a little friendly jab. Nothing crazy.
Right. Especially if they're a Bengals fan that, you know, looks in their 20s, you know, because those are the youth ones are the ones on Twitter being annoying. You can be nice to the older Bengals fans, but any of those young bucks that, you know, been on Twitter or Instagram, you know, instigating stuff, like,
I'm gonna be a little jab. I'm like, hey, you see this Super Bowl gear? It looks nice, doesn't it?
Exactly. I did want to jump back to DeAndre Hopkins real quick, just because, so say the Chiefs do land him between now and the draft, which I don't think is going to happen, but there's what, a little percentage chance. I'm throwing wide receiver completely out this draft. I don't think the Chiefs really need one. They'd have a full room plus the two Rosses as wild cards. You know, you have 7 to 8 guys that could potentially make this team if they get Hopkins. If the Chiefs do get him, I'm kind of throwing wide receiver out the draft. Like, I don't think the Chiefs would need one.
The thing about receiver is, like, I obviously love DeAndre Hopkins as a prospect. I love him now as a prospect, as a player for this team. And obviously, if we added him in any whatever fashion, as long as we don't give up crazy compensation, we would be set at receiver room. Because you would now have a guy in who's the number one receiver. You know, a guy that can get you 1,200 yards plus still. A guy that can get you around 8 to 10 touchdowns to go with the best tight end in football. And with this room, Sky Moore, second year. Kadarius Toney, second year in this offense. MVS is a solid veteran. You would be set for weapons passing-wise in a passing game. Now you can focus on those other issues that Chris think we can address. Not issues, but more so improvements we could have. Like, Chris, today, if you had to pick a right tackle today, do you 100% trust Lucas Niang to be our starting right tackle?
No, but I also don't necessarily trust anybody that we'd – like, I don't – like, who would be, like, the Jones kid from Ohio State or the Harrison kid from Oklahoma are probably the best two that would be available at 31. It's not like I trust them coming in either. So, you know, like,
I'm with you. I like the idea of having both guys on the roster.
Yeah.
I'm like, who I just rather
that's true.
Just draft a guy and whoever wins the job wins the job.
Wins
and that's
the job.
Lucas, I'm great with that. I'm happy with that. If you stay healthy, because Lucas Niang is healthy, he's a starting right tackle in this league. We saw that when he was healthy 2 years ago. So it's not the fact I'm not saying he can't play. I'm trusting his health. So for right now, Pat's in his prime right now at a premium. We fixed our left tackle position with Coach Heck, Veach, and Andy all signing off on the Juwan Taylor move. They all love it. So that makes me even more confident about that move. If we can get a young right tackle in this class to come in and push Lucas Niang to battle with him, and it made the best guy win to get that job. And if the rookie wins, the rookie wins. If Lucas Niang gets back to being himself, I'm fine with that either way, honestly.
Yeah, my argument there, though, too, is, like, is it worth the first-round draft pick for? And it's not very expensive to go find an Andrew Wiley type. You know, so we're like, if you are worried about, if Niang's your guy, but you're worried about health, go get a vet that can hold down, because we know the other four positions are strong on that line. Right. So like, if you need a little depth, I don't think the resource of a first round pick is worth it. So I'm not against taking tackle because there is a need for it. But like, in my mind, it's just not worth the price, especially with the Chiefs. If the Chiefs really truly like Niang as much as they say they do.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the question everyone's trying to figure out. Like, are they just gassing up Niang just to say he's going to be there?
Right.
Or are they truly saying he's going to get his job? And I believe Veach when he said that in his press conference, and Andy when he had his as well. If Lucas Niang's available, I believe he's our starting right tackle. There's no doubt in my mind about that, because I've seen him on tape and I have it on film. I just don't trust his ability to stay on the field. And is he going to be in shape? So there's no shot at him, but those are just the facts. So in this scenario, I think Chris is right. We have to take a right tackle, but the day one spot, it may not necessarily – it goes back to that point I said originally. We don't have to do anything day one.
Right.
It's kind of like we kind of let the board fall to us. Once we get around pick 20, I think everyone in Chiefs Kingdom will be very, very at ease at that point, because now we'll have legit answers. Like, all right, these are the four or five guys we've been talking about for the past 3 months, and maybe two of them are still available, or three of them are still available, or maybe four. And by the time you get to around, because I was doing trade scenarios with some of my friends this past weekend, and some of them are the Giants at 25 and the Vikings at 23. And I did some scenarios and I gave up. We did a pick swap with I'll break down the tweet, the trade for you. It was basically we swapped our first round pick and Minnesota's first round picks. Must have moved up to 31 to 23. We gave up a fourth rounder. We gave up a sixth. And we also included in a future seventh. And we included Za'Darius Smith from the Vikings in the trade, because they were trying to unload him off their books because they don't want to pay his contract. Gotcha. So essentially we got the 23rd pick, Za'Darius Smith, and we gave up four picks to get that, to move up from 31 to 23. And with the 23rd pick in that mock, I took Jordan Addison. So okay. I took two birds with one stone. I locked up our edge defender to go along with obviously guys like Chris Jones, Charles Omenihu, and then we got Mike Dana coming back. And then we solidified our fourth receiver room. So now our receiver room would have Jordan Addison, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, and MVS. I think going forward, we did a good job. I mean, we're still able to keep that second round pick and that third round pick in the tuck. So now we can attack on that second day and be aggressive to get that right tackle you like, Chris. Or if you want to find another position that you may think is a need at that point.
Right. No, for sure. Who are the other pass rushers you like maybe later that aren't those top end guys that we could get in the second, third round? You got some guys that you could see them adding to the D-line depth?
Yeah, I thought Will McDonald was a guy that was shooting up draft boards. Now he's falling back down.
Right. That's my guy, too. Will McDonald out of Iowa State.
Yeah, like, I've been talking about him since I saw him there. I saw him like week two. I put him on my list like of guys to keep on the eye for the season. And the combine, he ran well. He tested well. Well, he's going to be in the top 20. And now I've been seeing mocks this week. He's going like outside of 30. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing. Like, the draft week, things change. So Will McDonald, obviously is a guy I like. Felix, a guy at K-State, I don't think he's going to go top 30. Like,
no, a lot of I don't thought. Think so either.
That's another guy. So there's plenty of edges we can get. Byron Young, again, a kid out of Tennessee, is really aggressive. He's like a Spags guy. He's really physical with strong arms.
I kind of like the Tuli Tupilota guy out of USC, just because he can play everywhere, and that seems to be what they're prioritizing right now, especially after the press conference when they talked about the 49ers kid being able to play inside and out. I think Tuli is another guy that could do that out of USC on that D line. So,
no, facts. I like Tuli. He's been on our list since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was one of the first names you brought. Him and Will McDonald are two names I think you've been talking about since we brought up draft scenarios on this show. But
at first I thought they were going to be gone, and now they're sitting there. So we could honestly there's a lot of options we have. That's why I'm going to be happy with whatever we do. I know Veach is going to make the best decision for this football team and for the organization, because there's so many areas we could attack. And outside really of, like, some people, if you ask every fan, I think 50-50, you could say which one is our biggest of need right now. They would probably say another receiver, or some would say a right tackle. It depends who you ask. So I think those are probably the, as far as like the prop bets, if you wanted to make a bet for Thursday in a position to take, I would probably put a little money on O lineman or receiver. Those would be the two ones I think. If we had to pick a position, I don't think it's going to be a defensive player, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't think there's nobody around that area. So I think a tackle or a receiver.
No, to play off that a little bit, and this would probably be a trade back scenario, because I don't think they'll have to pick him at 31. That's why I like Darnell Washington. Because
I like Darnell, right?
Because everyone's talking about, you know, whether it's Laporta or, you know, even Mayer and Kennard. Those are the best pass catching options at tight end. Darnell Washington is a 6'6 beast out of Georgia who can block really well.
Extended lineman.
So if you can trade back and get him, you are cover. You're, you know, killing two birds with one stone. You're getting another piece to block, because let's be real, none of the tight ends on the current roster are great blockers. Blake Bell does okay. You know, Noah and Blake and Jody and Kelsey can all hold their own, but they aren't dominant run blockers. Darnell Washington would be a dominant run blocker, and he's a 6'6 guy. It kind of reminds me of Antonio Gates a little bit, maybe a little faster, but you know what I'm saying, like just a big body guy. It kind of fits too. It kind of, you know, helps at two positions, gives you a little extra blocking on the line and another pass catcher. So that's a name, like, I don't think it's been on a ton of people's radars, and probably for good reason. There's not a lot of smoke there, but that's a guy that the more I look at, I'm like, man, he kind of might fit in Kansas City.
No, absolutely. I think any of the tight ends in this class would be good for us. Dalton Kincaid, I love him a lot.
Yeah.
I love Michael Mayer's game. Darnell Washington's a physical freak. He's out there like Mercedes Lewis, but more athletic. And
yeah.
Other guy,
that's a better comparison, yeah.
Yeah, he's like 6'6", like you said, a great blocker. He's like an extension of the line in a run game. He can catch the ball pretty well. Everyone watched Georgia because they got the other kid, Brock Bowers. He's going to be a top 10 pick next year in the NFL draft. So they're kind of putting, I don't know who their tight end coach is in Georgia, but he's finding good guys and they're producing them. So there's good value later in the draft too. There's guys like Zach Koontz out of Old Dominion, who's a good tight end. Mm-hmm. There's a kid, Moonsberg out of Oregon State, another good tight end.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of good tight ends in this draft that you can find on day two that I think would be good. And it's going to be kind of awkward because we technically did sign all four of our tight ends back.
Right.
Like Blake, Jody, and Noah are all back. So the tight end room that we have are running it back with the same four. But I'm not opposed to bringing in another guy just because you can never have enough talent. And we know how we value tight ends in this organization. Because honestly, I think we're tight end you as far as like the NFL. Mm-hmm. Had so many good players come through this building. So. I'm not opposed to it at all. Like all the players and all the opinions that people have said, Chris, I've never been the one to say. The only two names that I think Chiefs Kingdom would be absolutely livid about if they heard their name come across the screen, or not livid, I'll probably say 75% of the Kingdom would be very upset, is Quentin Johnston and Jalin Hyatt. I think those are the two names. If we heard either, I think those two names would piss people off more than Jahmyr Gibbs.
Really?
I've heard a lot of people who don't like either one of those prospects, personally. That's what I've heard.
Quentin is one of my guys. I just don't think he's going to be there because, again, he fits what you don't have on your roster, which is a big body receiver. You have everything else.
And that's always the debate. Like, do you want a guy that fits what you do, or do you want a guy what you don't have? So it's always like, don't go away from what you do, or do you want to increase a weakness that you haven't had in a while? It's always a debate. I'm good either way. I have no problem with us drafting either one of those players because I know they can help us win. Now, are there other players I like more? Absolutely. The only receivers I would like to take on day one would either be JSN or Jordan Addison, or Zay Flowers. Those would be the three that I like. Outside of those three, I don't want any other receiver on day one.
Yeah.
Now, if they come across the stage, he hands the card and we take Quentin Johnston, am I going to be upset? No. Because like Chris said, he gives us an element that we haven't had. We have a 6'4 receiver, a true 6'4 receiver, not like an MVS guy who doesn't play to his size.
Right.
He's 6'4, and he's a physical guy. He's obviously a little bigger, a little stronger. He doesn't necessarily attack the ball as well as I would like him to. And he kind of has that little bit of that MVS syndrome at times. But it's still at the end of the day, when you have that guy with that ability to run after the catch, to make plays in that short area quickness, he's good in that aspect. And obviously, if the team believes they can make him a good player, I will believe in them too. Now, they're guys I like more than Quentin Johnston on day one, but I'm not going to yell at the team for taking a player if they think he can help us win, because is he going to produce in this offense? Duh. He would help us out win tremendously because he's big and he can run. If you can run, Andy likes you, because that's what the name of a lot of our run concepts, you know, it's a deep crossers, drags, slants, and things that can get your speed to make the flood the zone to make you go across the field. So I like Quentin Johnston in that aspect. Now, I don't love him overall as a prospect, but if we grab him and Jalin Hyatt, arguably the fastest receiver in the draft. He ran like, what, a 4.3? So
yeah,
he's crazy fast. You put him on the outside, let him clear out the offense. That's going to make Trav's job so much easier. Like, you got this kid just flying down the field, and if the safety comes up, and Pat even said in his press conference, in his interview, he wanted to hit on more of those deep balls because he missed a lot last year with MVS. So I wouldn't be too good about it because I'm a football guy. You know, I want to win. So if you give me a player, Chris, and you say, hey, make it work, I'm going to make it work.
Right.
So I don't really like complain too much because I'm like, okay, if he's on our team, he's on our team. Let's figure out a way to make it win. Other fans, on the other hand, Chris, you know, they're going to throw all the, what are you doing, Beach? And you, oh my God. Blah, blah, blah. It's going to be, that's why I can't wait for the draft, because I can't wait to see the raw emotions of every fan when they see their team draft a pick, especially, Chris, for someone who drafts Will Levis. I can't wait. I can't wait to see someone.
The next Blaine Gabbert, Mitch Trubisky, you know, white quarterback one heard about in college that comes out of nowhere and shoots up draft boards and then doesn't pan out in the end. It happens once every 3 to 4 years, and Will Levis is just a new edition of it, in my opinion. But
yeah, I'm with you.
Like, goodness gracious. But yeah, the last. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'll do it too. If you had to make a prediction, essentially your last first round mock, we're not saying the Chiefs trade back or trade up. They are picking at 31 and making the last pick. Who are they taking?
If we're staying picked at 31, I know there's going to be some trades. I'm trying to think who realistically is going to be at 31. I would say at 31, we take defending Super Bowl champions, take Antoine Harrison, right tackle out of Oklahoma.
Okay.
I would rather say Zay Flowers. I just don't think Zay Flowers lasts till 31. I've seen mocks from analysts on TV, people that I know in social media. I don't see Zay or Jordan Addison falling to us at 31. Now, if they did, I would gladly be wrong, because I would love either one of those guys for our football team, because I think they fit what we do as far as route running speed and being explosive in short areas. But I think realistically, who's going to be available at 31? I think it's going to be Antoine Harrison, tackle out of Oklahoma, and we love Oklahoma linemen anyway.
So. Yeah, they do. That's a good one. That was one of the guys I was kind of thinking about as well. But I'm gonna go just because, and maybe they can get him on day two. But Will McDonald, I think if he falls to 31, even if they don't want to go defense, I think he's just has too good of tape and is too talented not to add to that defensive line room if he's there. So that's who I'm going to say, Will McDonald. Out of Iowa State, the end. So,
hey, that's not a bad pick at all. He's a great player. Obviously, you can't hear too many, like, you haven't heard too many, like, bad things about him. So, I'm trying to figure out why he's falling, because I'm buying when he was shooting up. Now he's kind of falling back down again.
So, it'll be interesting to watch, as always. And again, you know, Will McDonald may be a guy they can trade back for, but I said no, trade backs weren't allowed, so that's who I'm picking right now.
No trade backs allowed.
So. Oh, man. So, anything else you want to say to the good people before we get out of here?
If you're coming to Kansas City, these are the three things you must do. You have to get you some barbecue. That's like an obvious. There's so many options. You can go to Gates Barbecue.
Go to Gates. Let someone yell at you for your food. It's just the absolute best. I'm living in Oklahoma City, and I still have Gates Barbecue sauce in my fridge, and I make sure to grab some anytime I go home. So
it's a way of passage. So don't take the yelling as disrespect. It's just a way of passage. They do it to everyone. They're trying to be efficient to get you out the door because there's usually a line. So they're not yelling at you to be mean. So definitely get you some barbecue. Gates, Jack Stacks, Joe's, Q39, Slaps, LCs, Big T's. There's so many options. We have like 8 barbecue restaurants. None of them are bad options for me. So definitely check them out as much as you can. I would definitely say go check out the Negro League Baseball Museum on 18th and Vine. It's a great, great experience for the culture. There's nothing better you can get as far as like a value, because it's not expensive to get in. It's good for you and your kids, and you can definitely get people to go down there and learn something new they haven't learned, get to know the people of Kansas City, and check out Mr. Bob Kendrick. He's the owner of the spot.
He's the absolute best.
After that, same thing, I would say go check out all these beautiful – we're the city of fountains, so we have a lot of beautiful fountains. I heard they're putting one right in front of the stage, so we're the city of fountains. So every chance you get, definitely check out one of those. Those would be my top three things I would recommend anybody who's coming to Kansas City. Those are things you should definitely do.
Hey, I think you nailed it. I think that's perfect. And even if you don't want to try one of the mainstream barbecue spots and you just want to look for mom-and-pop shops, like, you can't go wrong.
There's so many good options. It's the barbecue capital of the world for a reason. There's no bad option. If you need any suggestions, hit me up. I'll be outside. I'll be at the draft Thursday. I'll definitely be with some friends out there. So if you need any suggestions, if you want any options or things you want to do, anything you do suggest, I suggest get there early. There's going to be a lot of people in the city this week. So airport's going to be packed. Food's going to be packed. And it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a fun time for sure.
For sure. And hey, where can the good people find you to keep up on your draft stuff?
They can definitely follow me at Twitter at CGZ81. That's CJEEZY81. My DMs are open if you want to talk about the draft, if you want to do mocks, if you want to talk film breakdown, players, season predictions, anything. My DMs are always open.
And you can find me on Twitter at TenPenny88. And please also check out the Aftermath podcast Twitter account. It's just at Aftermath_KC. I'm sure we'll be keeping up with the draft and tweeting out stuff as it going through this weekend. I'm trying
to post as much content as I can.
There we go.
Bring an extra battery on my phone or bring a second phone with me. I'm going to be taking pictures. Like, hold up, guys.
My gosh. I love it. I can't wait to see it all. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get up there, but I can't wait to see CJ's and everyone's stuff on how this draft
is. I'm getting Chris down there for the opener, guys. Don't worry.
hopefully. All right, guys. Well, hey, happy draft week, and I'm sure we'll talk to you next time.
Go Chiefs.